This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good day after the Super Bowl, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 6th, episode 1624, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
I don't want to talk. I'm going home.
Actually, I thought you would call in deflated today.
That's hilarious.
To waiting all morning to use that line.
Yeah, nice. I think lots of Atlanta fans are pretty deflated. What an awful game. Like, you go the whole game going, holy crap.
We're going to win. I was like, oh,
we're
going to
win
over.
The freaking Super Bowl. Like, Atlanta just won the Super Bowl. Spoiler alert, they didn't. You know how hard it is for me not to cuss right now. I've been swearing like a sailor for 24 hours now. It's hard to rein it back.
Were you with other people during this whole thing?
I was, and I was with Chad's squadron commander and his family. And Chad's,
let me guess, they're from squadron. New England.
His squadron commander's dad was the second ever drafted Atlanta Falcon. So he's in his 70s now, and he wasn't there. But so their whole entire family is Atlanta Falcons fans. And I mean, his dad played for the Falcons. All the kids' grandfather played for the Falcons. So everybody's a Falcons fan. And so it was pretty depressing. Thanks for bringing it up.
Oh, no problem.
Awesome.
It was fun chatting with the listeners last night on Facebook, but
yeah.
And I was thinking, wow, a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money tonight. You know, there's a lot of betting that went on. That's good. People are going to lose a lot of money, and some people
apparently
are going to win a lot.
Chad's brother might have lost some money. And then I just want to send this message out. Just hopefully my brother's alive. I really hope you made it, buddy. I'm pretty sure he exploded at some point throughout the evening. Like, there's no way that dude could physically handle what happened in that game yesterday. So I
Can
hope
you
you're okay, brother.
How loud it must have been in that stadium last night.
I can't imagine how loud it was wherever my brother was. Josh, thinking about you, brother.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about all of that coming up on today's show, plus some other stuff, right, Jennifer?
Coming up, woohoo, on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we're going to get right to work because we've got a lot of equine-esque and other goings-on from the weekend to cover. And then mid-show, Dr. Chang has some advice on your horse's cardiovascular health. And then after the break, Sarah Coleman is going to stop by and tell us about the New Vocations Pony Club Challenge, a chance for the youth of America to train a thoroughbred and perhaps win a pile of money. And then just as the 2-minute buzzer sounds, Leslie from Horse Nation is going to bring us the latest in horse-inspired sarcasm. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. I am a little tired today. I stayed up way past my bedtime last night, so I'm a little tired today. I think everybody's a little tired. They said this is one of the days where more people call in sick than any other day of the year. And business is just... Wait a minute,
I
can't hear you, Jamie. Well, I want to give my daily Winnie to Lisa and Mary, who are auditors, and they increased their pledge over the last week or two. So thank you for that. We always appreciate that. And also new auditors, Nellie Kennedy and Laurie Clark. We want to welcome both of you. And Nellie and Laurie, if you go search on Facebook for HRN Auditor, you'll find the HRN Auditors Room, and you can request to join that, and we'll let you in. So I couldn't find you guys on Facebook, so definitely do it that way, and we'll get you into the Auditors Room. And there was a lot of chatter last night in there about the game and commercials mostly. We'll talk about those in a minute, too. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. False alarm. Got to do the right one.
There we go. I would like to thank all of the, well, I think it was mainly auditors chatting last night and listeners, too. The people that were really supportive of me and of my Falcons and of everybody. So I wanted to give a daily winnie out to those guys. And I wanted to give an anti-daily winnie out to somebody named Nick Hayes, who was
Chantel,
like a total jerk. All of you, you people that were like, touchdown! Or like, oh my God, this is amazing! And they're like, I'm a Pats fan for life! You shut up. I don't care about you. But we are going to talk a little bit about the halftime show, just a little bit, because Lady Gaga is ridiculously amazing. Did you watch any of the halftime show?
I did not see it. Did she come down from the ceiling?
She had like wires on her back, and she's at the very top of the stadium.
That has to be 30 stories high.
You got to trust your handlers for this. Because she's standing at the very top, and I don't think they used the right camera shot because they should have had a wide shot to show her. But she sings like a line of, this land is your land, God bless America, and then dives off. Dives, boom, and then next we see her, she's standing on top of some other thing, and then she flies around a lot. She's like Peter Pan in a stadium, and she's singing the entire time.
Do you think she was really singing? She doesn't like lip syncing, does she? I thought I had heard that.
We were trying to guess. Yeah. I feel like most of the time she sang, but there was a couple times that I just think you have to lip sync. You cannot dance like that and sing like that. I'd be like, and then I'm on the edge of glory.
Or that first jump. If you're singing during that first jump, when the wind's taken out of you as the harness hits, ugh.
Yeah. She wasn't singing during the first jump, but oh my gosh, she was amazing. And so I thought she did a fantastic job. Apparently, my sister-in-law, she's the inappropriate police. Oh. She's like, wow, finally a halftime show my children could watch. And I was like, did you see the same one I saw? Whatever. As long as you were happy.
Yeah.
I
did notice it because I kept tuning in here and there, and she did keep getting less clothes as it went on.
Yeah, yes. I was like, did you see the camera just crotch shot there? Like, boop, straight out. I was like, I don't really need to see that. Whatever. She was amazing. And I didn't get to see tons of the commercials, but I happened to have seen all the ones that are on that USA Today ad meter list. And I thought there was a couple good ones, but in general, it just needs a darn Clydesdale commercial.
There were some horse spottings. Puppy. Jennifer was kind of writing down the ones where there were actually horses in them. Do you have that list, Jennifer?
I do, and if you refresh your show notes, I did put them in there.
Okay.
All of Coca-Cola, Alfa Romeo, and TurboTax each had a horse in the ad. Now, in some cases, the horse was in the ad for less than 2 seconds, but there was a horse in them.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Kudos to
everybody.
Them.
Buy an Alfa Romeo today.
Yeah, were you surprised to see Alfa Romeo ads on the camera? Is that a first? I don't remember Alfa Romeo advertising on the Super Bowl before.
That's like a fancy car, right?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. See? I guess they need to advertise because we're all going, didn't they stop making that about, you know, when James Bond the first died 50 years ago? I was surprised, too.
Yeah, and the yearbook ad, I don't know what it was for, but the one where everybody was talking about the Honda.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? I liked that one.
That was cool. The CGI
was really good. It didn't look like creepy mouth moving up and down. Like, you know, the CGI was good because their whole face moved.
I know. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And then I thought that by far the best commercial was the Melissa McCarthy.
I agree.
Saving the planet kind of commercial.
I didn't see that till this morning. I didn't catch it during the show, but I saw it this morning. I agree with you. That was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Melissa, we need you to save the whales. And then, Melissa, we need you to save the rhinos. Runner, Melissa, save the trees. Save the ice caps. Wasn't it?
Yeah, you just kind of get, or Donald Duck, and, you know, just getting killed 15 times in the commercial. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was very funny. She is very funny. Well, she makes me laugh. She could just walk in the room and I'd be like, laugh hysterically. Sorry. And then,
it's kind of making fun of the planet people too, right? The serious save the world.
Well, no,
people.
That's what's funny is like that the car that she drove in the commercial is like an eco-friendly car. So basically, they're saying instead of do all that and kill yourself, just drive
this. Drive this, right? It was actually a pretty good commercial. It was really good, but there was one I thought that didn't air, or apparently did. You found out aired locally.
Yes,
somewhere.
This is a local ad. I think it aired in Atlanta, actually.
Because the Budweiser commercial was all about him coming over. It was about Mr. Budweiser or whatever coming over. And there was a brief horse in it, but that was it. So there really wasn't the Clydesdales.
Was that like that Budweiser ad where it was about him immigrating?
Yes.
Is that
yes.
like an immigration...
I don't know. It was just him coming to the country and starting. People were saying it was that. I just looked at it as a feel-good commercial about him coming and starting, you know, Budweiser. But anyway.
Right.
It didn't have horses, so who cares? But the one that did was this local commercial for a bank I've never heard of. It's Synovus Bank. And I have the audio. Do you want me to play it?
Yes.
Now, there is a Budweiser in it. He's talking about a Budweiser. It's a very stoic Budweiser.
This is Clydesdale.
Despite
what you see in the commercials, he doesn't play football. He won't bring me a cold one, as much as I wish he would. He does not fall easily in love with his kitty cat pals, of which he has none. He's just really good at being a horse on this ranch. I run with help from my banker, a Synovus, the bank of here. Really, Bruce?
The horse kicked a football in the back of the head. Or so you think.
Yeah.
Bruce.
That was pretty good, actually. And every horse person can relate to that, right?
It's like, say what?
Every horse person can relate to that.
Yes. Really, Bruce? That was a good commercial. I wish that... Why has Budweiser stopped making the Clydesdale and puppy that one every year?
Their rumors are that the new owners from overseas just don't even like horses and that eventually they're going to get rid of the whole horse thing. So let's hope not. I mean, let's hope that that's not the case. But yeah, that's the rumor. That's the rumors that have been going around. Bummer. And we have been seeing less and less of them, right? I mean, I don't know. I hope they don't go away. Or that somebody takes them over.
Maybe they decided that horse chicks don't drink Bud beer. So we're not worth pleasing.
Well, then maybe a red wine company could buy them.
You know, now you're talking. Vodka Clydesdales.
Yeah. Smirnoff.
Smirnoff Clydesdales.
Smirnoff Clydesdales.
But that was pretty much, I think, the... Now, did you catch any of the Budweiser live feed of the horses?
Yes, that was hilarious.
That was good. I kept checking in and going, oh, they're still eating. And then 10 minutes
I only saw it because you shared it. But yes. There was a brief commercial, and it was basically like the live feed of Budweiser Clydesdales technically watching the game. They're just eating.
They were eating a lot of apples. There was apples everywhere. And in the one shot, the one takes the bushel of apples and knocks it over. And so that's what they were doing the entire time, was eating apples. And to the point where I said to Jennifer, how many apples can a horse eat before it gets sick? And, you know.
Oh, you can watch it. They have it on their Facebook.
Are they currently tubing the horses? And...
You know, a big guy like that could probably eat a lot of apples. But it was funny. It was funny just seeing him eat. It was funny.
That was Rascal Little. Chief and McGee hanging out at the brewery.
At the one point, the most I saw it get up to is they actually had about 25,000 people at one point watching it live. And the hearts going across the screen, you couldn't even see the horses. So many hearts going across the screen. So good for them.
Well, they need to have McGee's veterinarian broadcast, you know, the intubation and putting mineral oil down in his gut.
Oh, I get it now, Glenn. Yeah. They were having a Super Bowl party.
Yes, that's what, in the barn. They were having a Super Bowl party. Yep.
You just got that?
I just got that.
God.
Well, I got it.
I do have some breaking news Super Bowl. Apparently, Tom Brady, you know, they go in after the game and they go and shower and change and all this. Well, he comes back out to meet the media and they're, you know, in a towel, and he starts looking flustered and he's looking around kind of frantically, and he realizes somebody stole his jersey. His game worn. Beat the Falcons Super Bowl jersey is gone. So he apparently everybody looked for it. They were going crazy. Everybody's trying to find it. And he said, it was right here. Now I don't have it. And walking out of the stadium, one of the reporters said, hey, did you find your jersey? He was like, nope. It's going to be on eBay soon, I guess. Somebody stole his jersey. Wow.
Well, and who has access to the room? The reporters and, I guess anybody that works for the team does.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was, tried to count, there was an over-under on how many times you would see his lovely supermodel wife, how do you say her first name? Giselle. Yeah. How many times would they show her? I counted 4 that I saw.
How many times did they show the woman that was carrying his child, the baby mama, that he left for Giselle? How many times did they show Bridget?
I knew you were going to say that.
How many did they show the baby or the kid that he abandoned? No. They didn't. Oh, okay. They just showed the supermodel. Gotcha. Although they did show Arthur Blank an awful lot. And somebody said, wow, his wife looks so young. And I'm like, she's like 58. She just has had a lot of work done.
Yeah,
when you create Home Depot, you can do whatever you want. I'm like, she's a really impressive woman. I knew her when I lived in Atlanta and blah, blah, blah. And actually I was like, oh, never mind. This is his 4th wife. I don't know her at all.
You knew wife number 2 or 1.
Because I was in radio when Arthur Blank in Atlanta, when Arthur Blank bought the Falcons.
Now, where did his money come from?
He invented Home Depot.
Okay. So he was the founder of Home Depot. Okay.
Gotcha. He's the founder of Home Depot. Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, then Lowe's was invented right after. I mean, he's fine. He's doing just fine.
Do you
fine.
Think that and it started everything with one works store in the stadium? Do you think that? Or everything's prepared, working fine.
Teach you how to tile a bathroom floor. Come on in.
Yeah, they have little seminars during the game.
Well, they are going to have a new stadium, so I wonder how much Home Depot actually did.
All right, let's talk. Let's switch gears a little bit. I got to do something really, really cool that has only been done once in this country before. And I got to head out to Grand Oaks, which is a really, really nice resort down just north, about a half an hour, 45 minutes north of Orlando, south of Ocala, between us. And it's where the villages are, the infamous villages, which is the retirement community that holds tens of thousands of people. It's one of the largest in the world. And right beside there is Grand Oaks. And Grand Oaks was originally owned by Gloria Austin, who's been on our driving radio show many, many times. And everybody from this show probably knows that David Saunders, who was coachman to the Queen for 20
Darling.
Years. Darling. Who was coachman to the Queen for 20 years, is her coachman now. So, and by the way, her money came from, she was one of the 12 founders of the Paychex Company. And they're the big payroll company that was started back in the 60s.
Heard of them.
Yep. So she was one of the founders of that and then sold out, and that's where her money came from. So she is one of the largest carriage collectors in the world. And at the Grand Oaks Resort, which is an equestrian resort, they have one of the largest carriage collections in the United States. She has over 220 carriages there. And if you're ever in Central Florida, you can go to the museum. It is very cool. Well, one of the things that's in the museum is this Royal a carriage. It was an Armbruster carriage that was made in the 1840s. It was owned by the Emperor Franz Joseph of Austria, and it was used as a ceremonial vehicle during his time in the 1840s as Emperor of Austria. So he used this carriage. And we're going to have, later in the show, David actually talked to Gloria and got the whole history on it. And you'll hear the whole history of this carriage and where she found it and what kind of condition it was in and what kind of restoration she had to do. But it was an absolutely spectacular day. She owns Spanish PRE horses that they have really gotten from one breeder in Spain, and she owns 8 or 10 of them, I think, total. This was one of the first times that this carriage has been brought out. It was there's a lot of gold, 24 karat gold on this carriage. It's absolutely impressive. And it was one of the first times that it's ever been shown in harness, actually taken out and used. They had quite a few people there. There were hundreds of people there. I went down to cover it for us, and I'm friends with David and Gloria. And it was very cool. Gloria was in her glory, really. She really was excited to get this out, and I don't blame them. They've been polishing the harness and the brass and cleaning the carriage for 3 months to get it ready for this. It's a lot of brass polish, trust me, and a lot of cleaning of leather. It was very impressive. I did a video that you can find on our Horses in the Morning page. I shared it there, or the Driving Radio Show Facebook page, either one. And the video has actually been shared 103 times and been seen by almost 7,000 people now. It was very impressive to see him hooking up these 6 PREs. They had 2 outriders, one of who was an 18-year-old girl who works for Gloria, whose name is Emily, and her mom were the outriders. And it was really cool to see her being an outrider. She's a sweet girl and has been in horses since she was a kid. And thank God, because her horse was the one that wasn't having any of this and was acting up, you know, a lot during this whole day. But she stayed on, she held her composure, and she did very well. So they rode in front of the 6-horse carriage. Now, the really cool part about this is the Emperor Franz Joseph of Austria still has relatives from Austria, and one of them is a duchess. And she came in and actually was the one that rode in the state carriage. So they actually had a descendant of Franz Joseph riding in the carriage. And apparently she speaks like 4 languages. I'd love to get her on sometime. But it was the first time that she's ever ridden in a state carriage. So it was cool for her, too. It was a neat day. It's a beautiful location. It was cloudy and threatening rain all day until they started hitching up the first pair, and then the sun came out and it was absolutely beautiful.
I just think that, David, this photo that you have, and maybe you just shared this photo on Facebook because I didn't see it on our Horses in the Morning page, of Mr. Saunders, darling, sitting there with the whip all like stands holding up in the air, and he just looks so elegant and so handsome, and just, I mean, I'm assuming that's a wig, right?
The blonde, white wigs. Ringlets. Yes.
If it wasn't, that'd be even more awesome. But yeah, it just wow, what a cool, thing you got to see too.
It is, because it just doesn't happen here. That is the only royal state carriage owned by an individual in the world. The rest of them are owned by the royal families. So it's kind of cool that, you know, we'll never see that again here, probably. It'll probably never come out again. You know, the gold that you see on that carriage is all 24 karat gold. And even what he's sitting on, the seat he is sitting on, has a seat rug over it. It's very fancy seat rug, braided and everything. And the braiding in there, there's 210 hand-turned braids that go around this that are just so impressive. They're all made of gold bullion. I mean, interwoven with the thread is gold. So, I mean, it's just incredible amount of money, time, and effort that was spent on this. And you will hear more about that in Gloria's voice later on. The one thing I did want to mention and talk about an irony, and you know, I told Gloria when I heard this that I think that that this was meant to be this day. And she was meant to do this for a reason. Miguel Cardenas is the breeder of the horses that all of the horses that pulled this carriage that on Saturday. He died that day. So it was just kind of an irony and a coincidence that he died that day. What a tribute to him that she just happened to be doing this that day with his horses. What a tribute to him, and what a story. And she did not know that till the next day. So just an emotional day, actually, and hundreds of people turned out. I was so happy to see the turnout of people that came out for it, because we weren't sure how many would come out, and it was just hundreds of people turned out. Very cool. David did a lot of work to get this done and to get the harnesses cleaned and just everything ready. It was very cool. There were three.
Is this a job of his still, or did he just do it because?
He works for Gloria. He's still a full-time coachman for Gloria.
Oh.
This is his job. And she travels all over the world driving carriages and coaches and things all over the world. But it was just neat. There were three. We do a coachman's roundtable over on the driving show where with full-time coachmen. There are very few left, but especially in the United States. But there were three of them there. So I got to meet them all in person. And it was kind of neat that the coachmen from around the country came out for this. It was very cool.
That's cool.
And a lot of the drivers that compete in CDEs that do combined driving events are actually on the grounds at Grand Oaks. That's where they live. There's little houses all scattered all over the property, and they live there, and they practice there in the winter. So that's kind of their winter quarters. So as I was pulling out, there were four or five carriages going around practicing, doing things. So it was just it was a neat day. It was a very cool day. I was so glad I went
Excellent.
There for that. Yep.
Very cool. And now we are going to have to talk a little bit about what happened in Wellington and the humongous horse trial, that Wellington showcase that they had down there.
A mini trial done in arena size.
It's crazy. They basically, in Wellington, my friend Donna went, and she's like, watching cross country, and she sent me videos of Elisa Wallace and William Fox Pitt, and they gallop through the VIP tent on cross country. And she said that William Fox Pitt was hilarious. She's like, basically he had a duck. He's on a 17 two-hand horse, and he's like 6'9". She was like, he came through and basically had to duck down. So they had a really good time, and congratulations to Boyd Martin, who won with Welcome Shadow, a nice mare, Welcome Shadow. And then Doug Payne came in third, and Buck Davison came in second. And I thought it was funny that apparently, my friend Donna, she's not an eventer, and she's like, oh my God, it was so fun. They galloped through the VIP tent. And then I saw, after the show, I was walking back to my car, and I saw this lady that was carrying this huge check, and it's Buck Davidson's mama. So I talked to Buck Davidson's mama for a while after the show, because she was, I didn't know you kept those big checks. I didn't know they were good for anything. I guess you put them on the wall. I don't know. But yeah, she had the big check.
This is his third time winning, Boyd?
I don't know. I can't keep track.
Yeah, lots of money in that event, too.
$33,000 was his cut. I'm looking at the picture of them on the podium, and Buck and Doug are spraying champagne directly into the eyeballs of Boyd Martin. So I can't see how much Buck won, but third place Doug Payne got $12,000. So
somewhere in the probably, 20 range, 18 to 20, probably.
Yeah, probably something like that. So,
Well, congratulations to those three. Do you think they were just scheming and planning to do that if he won again?
I probably think they were just going to do it anyway. Like, whether he won again or not, whoever, you just...
I did see Elisa Wallace posted she did post a video that she did during the ride, right?
Yeah, she did. She said that he was pretty tough in dressage, and then had like three or four rails, but cross country was amazing. And she moved up into like 12th or something afterwards. Sorry, I don't have all the placings in front of me.
Very cool. You know what? I'm going to get down and watch that sometime. One of these years, we're going to get down. Everything happens at the same time here. There's so much happens in the winter, and it all seems to happen on the same weekends. Jennifer, we took Nigel out to practice yesterday to the Florida Horse Park, and all the eventers from Ocala that weren't down in Wellington were at a little dressage show they had over there. So we saw some of the eventing rigs were over there, and they were doing dressage over at the Florida Horse Park. And Jennifer got to go out on Nigel. We wanted to get him out alone after his last escapade that you guys heard about a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So she went riding all around the Florida Horse Park. By the way, you would love to have that in your backyard. It's like 500 acres, and it's just open. You can go anytime and ride. Anybody can ride. It's not like the Kentucky Horse Park. And she happened to meet up with our guest wrangler, Denise, and her gang. They had ridden in from a different place onto the park and just happened to find each other in the back. And they usually ride together. Jennifer usually goes out, but she wanted to give them some alone experience. So that was kind of cool. And he did great. Actually, Nigel was really good this time. So hopefully we can get him out some more and get him not being so bad.
Absolutely.
She's embarrassed to go out with groups at this point until.
No, just be that girl. Own it. Come on.
She said she's trying to get our guest on now. But she did say that at the Florida Horse Park, you can ride through the barns. They're kind of open, but they have banners down the side. So Nigel didn't want to do the ride through it all. But then Denise came along with her gang and she said, okay, Denise, you go first. Then he was fine. As long as he's with his friends, he's fine. And we've all had horses like that, right? That will do anything with their friends, but not so sure about not having their friends along.
Right.
Yeah.
Then they have to listen to their mama.
I was just telling her about your escapades.
Hey, we got close to the water jump. It was cool. We got close to the water jump. Yeah. And the 9 feet tall, I'm not exaggerating, 9 feet tall wooden carved bugs that surround the water jump. It's like that the horse is nice, a nightmare for a horse to walk past and see a mosquito that's 9 feet high. No wonder he was scared.
That surrounds the water jump?
Yes.
Like the water's not a deterrent enough. Carved bugs on them.
Yeah, wow. They're 9 feet tall and they're carved bugs and they were pretty terrifying, but after half an hour of methodical work, we went right around them.
Wow.
We got it. We did it.
Yay. Well, congratulations. I'm glad you got it. I do want to bring our next guest on, our first guest on, because it's always an enjoyable talk with Dr. Gordon Chang, owner and chief formulator at Omega Alpha Equine. And today with Dr. Chang, we're going to talk about cardiovascular health, which is what I need after watching that darn football game last night. Dr. Chang, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm from Atlanta.
Hello?
So
yeah.
I said I'm from Atlanta, so you decide how I'm doing this morning.
Okay. I hear the joy in your voice.
Now, being Canadian, is the Super Bowl, does it matter to Canadians? Because it's just such a weird holiday here almost.
Actually, a lot of people look at the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those armchair sports athletes. I'll look at it if everybody around me is looking, but I don't go look for it. But after having said that, I do the same thing for hockey too. So, you know, I'm born in Trinidad. In Trinidad, we don't have American football. We do not have hockey. Biggest thing in Trinidad is soccer and cricket, right? And I'm going to offend a lot of people, but watching cricket is like watching paint dry sometimes.
Oh, especially good.
When
I'm
they
glad
go
you
for
said
these
that.
5-day test match.
I'm glad you said that.
Is there like an equivalent of the Super Bowl in the cricket world? Is it like the Cricket Bowl?
No, they have what they call test matches, and that's the big thing. Different countries play different other people, right? So it's like a international thing, right? But a test match will run for 5 days, right? So anyway, but
they play solid for 5 days.
Watching paint dry. Solid for 5 days. And they have tea breaks and everything, the whole nine yards.
Okay? That's awesome.
Hey, you know what I saw yesterday at this resort that was really cool to see? Because they were all dressed up in the clothes that you would expect for a fancy croquet match. They actually had a croquet court set up, like with four or five different croquet things. And all of the old people were out there in their croquet outfits with the, you know, almost look like golf outfits from the 1930s. And they were all out playing croquet. And actually, I have to admit, it kind of looked fun. I almost wanted to get out there and whack some balls around again.
All right. I would like to bring up the ICC Cricket World Cup. It's the international championship of one-day international cricket organized by the sports governing body, the International Cricket Council. It happens every 4 years with preliminary qualification rounds leading up to the finals tournament.
It's like the Olympics.
Dr. Chang, you need to be parked in front of your television every 4 years to watch this.
Oh, okay. But that's a full day. Okay. at least I can say, even if I'm bored silly watching baseball, it's good for 3 hours. Okay. Baseball is watching paint dry too. Okay. In my mind.
Watch your
okay.
Mouth.
Again,
watch
at the risk of offending a lot of people.
I'm with you, Dr. Chang. I'm with you.
I have never even considered cricket. So this is interesting. I'm going to learn some new stuff. I also want to learn some new stuff.
You don't know
stuff.
How blessed you are. Don't worry.
Says the guy who spends his time in a laboratory making evil medicine.
Coming up with new things. That's right.
Oh, you know, we all get our fun somehow. And fun this week is going to come in the form of cardiovascular health. And I guess that's probably one thing that I really haven't had to use very much of Omega Alpha's products. So tell me all about it.
Now, to be fair, horses do not get cardiovascular disease, full stop, right? You never hear of a horse having clogged arteries or anything like that, okay?
The cholesterol levels,
you don't have to worry about that with your horse. The only reason we brought that up is because one of the things that we do about horses is that endurance horses, especially, horses are under strenuous exercise, it's the electrolyte replacement. A lot of people, you have to use electrolytes for that because potentially if you drain a lot of the electrolytes and, you know, you're short on things like potassium, you can have arrhythmias in the heart, okay? And those are some of the issues you want to think about. But to be fair, there is very little cardiovascular issues in horses. That's the only big cardiovascular issue that you need to talk about.
Now, what about like a heart murmur, Dr. Chang? Is that what you're talking about? The arrhythmia is a murmur?
Heart murmur, but arrhythmias are basically the heart is not beating in synchrony. So what happens is that you can have some like a heart attack, not because of clogged arteries, but because the heart isn't beating the signals that make the heartbeat as one machine gets all screwed up. And it usually gets all screwed up because the electrolytes are not in balance, right? Things like sodium, potassium, very important for that to happen. But those are very extreme cases. You normally won't see that even in your show jumping horses. If anywhere you'll see it is probably in an endurance horse, working out in the UAE, right, in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, out that in the Middle East, where they run them like about 75 miles in the desert on a hot day, right? So fluids plus electrolytes. You just gotta make sure they have fluids and electrolytes. And electrolytes for them, you know, your sodium and your potassium are the most important things, right? But what people don't realize about electrolytes too. One flush does not get all of it in, meaning that you've lost all your electrolytes in the sweat, and then you replace it by one long drink, for example, does not balance it out instantly. Right? It still takes time to equilibrate in the fluid system in the body. So usually, if you have a horse that's been like an endurance run, you got to give him time to recover. Right.
Okay.
That's the major thing with cardiovascular issues with the horse.
I love how Glenn, Dr. Chang struggles to dumb it down for us.
Makes me No, this one, to be fair, I'm not trying to dumb it down in the sense that, I mean, it's not that, the focus is not that difficult on this one, right? It's a relatively straightforward issue. If you think you're going to have arrhythmias, or if you have a horse that's running, even flat races where, you know, the Kentucky Derby, et cetera, make sure he has electrolytes before and after. Just keep them in shape and keep them happy, right? Minimize the effects of that.
So, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead. You're about to say, but
no, I was just gonna digress a little bit here and talk a little bit about antioxidants, right?
Perfect.
And things like probiotics and prebiotics, because one of the things that we'll start off with the probiotics and the prebiotics. One of the things that a lot of people think for horses is that, oh, we gotta get some prebiotics on the probiotics that we give the horse. But to be fair, most of these things, you don't really need those prebiotics, because a horse has primarily a diet that is vegetarian, right? Vegetable based. So it's high cellulose based. And by definition, a prebiotic is anything that a bacteria will chew up on or use as food, right? So in the horse, there is a lot of prebiotic coming down the tubes. So, you know, using a prebiotic on horses is not a huge issue, because they're getting a lot in their diet anyway. For people, on the other hand, it's a big thing, because a lot of people don't eat their veggies, etc. So you need to have something that the bacteria will eat. So hence the word prebiotics in there.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. And one other thing I wanted to touch on is a little bit about antioxidants, right? Now, everybody has heard about antioxidants, right? But the problem with everybody and the antioxidants, they think, oh, this antioxidant is great, that antioxidant is better. Well, there's no such thing as a great and better antioxidant. The antioxidants is really a function of what kind of free radical it meets up in everyday life. So, and where the antioxidants is located. Right.
Okay.
Usually antioxidants, when we talk about it, we talk about things like, you know, the polyphenols, etc. But things like vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin E, right, selenium, zinc, they all have what I call antioxidant properties, or if not directly, indirectly, because they're needed in conjunction with other systems, right? C and E is one of the better antioxidant combinations. And the reason for that is vitamin C sits inside the cells in the aqueous environment, right? And then vitamin E sits in the cell wall. So that's a decent combination of both of them, right? And that's where I want to allude to our Vantiox product. It has high doses of vitamin C and vitamin E, really for horse dose. Now, a lot of people say, well, horses don't need vitamin C because they make it themselves, or at least the bacteria in their gut makes the vitamin C. The answer is short, yes, if your horse is just lazing around the backyard, you know, where he does nothing except being a good-looking lone ornament, right, you don't need to give him C because his needs are probably met. However, show jumping, endurance, racing, dressage, eventing, right, any type of performance horses, reining, barrel racing, they use up a lot more vitamin C than they can probably be provided with. So it's always a good idea to supplement it. And what people don't know about C and E is that they work in tandem, because vitamin E sits in the cell membrane. It takes a long time to get a vitamin E plugged in there, and it takes a long time for it to come back out. But it gets used up quite easily. And what happens is that vitamin C essentially recharges your vitamin E after it gets used up, right?
Really?
So it increases the activity. Yeah, so that's why you need to take C and E together. And that's the idea with our Vantiox combination.
And what is the price? It's Vantiox?
It's called Vantiox. We have vitamin C, vitamin E, and selenium and zinc in there. Selenium is needed because selenium is a cofactor in many enzyme systems, and so is zinc. So that's why we have it there together.
Excellent. Well, I see. I didn't know that about vitamin C. I thought you were supposed to take vitamin C with calcium for, but maybe that's for something different. So no, vitamin
that's,
C.
That's for bones. If you're trying to stop osteoporosis or so on, increase your calcium intake. But, you know, for most people, let's face it. I mean, horses, you don't have to worry about some osteoporosis.
Right. Very true. Well, Dr. Chang, as always, this is absolutely fascinating. And you can find all their products on OmegaAlphaEquine.com. You are also doing a webinar, and you guys are committed to help us learn more about your equine products by offering free teleseminars or web classrooms. They're held the last Monday of the month at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. The next webinar is February 27th, and they're going to delve more into cardiovascular health. There's a Q&A after webinar. You can register. It's easy. It's free. Just call 1-800-651-3172 and ask for Joanne to get your web classroom address and entry code, or go to Omega Alpha's website for all the information you need to sign up, OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Dr. Chang, as always, I'm going to spend more money after talking to you, and I appreciate so much you coming on and talking to us about this.
Thank you, Jamie. It's my pleasure.
All right. All right. Dr. Chang's heading off to watch your cricket match while we have to continue to work. See you, Dr.
Go,
Chang.
Go, cricket.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, our next guest coming up right away is an old friend of ours from Kentucky. We met her there when we lived here. Her name is Sarah Coleman. She's Director of Education and Development for New Vocations. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
It has been, and I'm very glad to speak with you as well.
Now, Sarah, before we get into business and have to talk about, you know, Pony Club and New Vocations and all of that, did I see you got a little red horse?
I did. And I resisted so hard. And he was actually a new vocation. He was a horse through New Vocations. And both our Lexington, Kentucky trainer and my boss were like, this horse is hilarious. He is absolutely for you. And boy, they were right on the money. This horse is personality plus. He's hilarious.
Well, tell us about your little red horse.
His name is Chisholm. He actually ran for Todd Pletcher. He was owned by Cheyenne Stables. And he was a $400,000 yearling through Keeneland. They had very, very high hopes for him as a racehorse, but he was not really digging it. He ran two times, and thankfully, they decided to retire him. They try to stay within the stakes, you know, the stakes ranks. And when he showed that he didn't really have the aptitude to run at that level, they retired him to New Vocations. And he is just a hoot. I mean, I'm a hunter. He really enjoys going slow and jumping things. And interestingly, where I board at Shuffle Ridge Farm, Dave Sheffel is a roper. So he's got cows in the pasture next to him, and they're totally BFFs. He adores them. So I think we might see if Dave will let us play with the cows a little bit later this year.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I think he'll really enjoy it.
There's a lot of thoroughbreds that really get into that. Yeah.
They do. And he's not afraid. You know, he's not a bolt and spook. He's like a jump in place when things startle him. And he's really fun. He's really fun.
He is cute as a dickens too. I was looking at his pictures earlier today on your Facebook page. He's just so cute. I'm so glad that you have a new toy to play with.
Me too.
Although I forgot that you were a hunter. I thought you were a jumper.
No, I am a hunter, and I like to go out and like piddle around on cross country, but really anything 3 foot and over that doesn't fall down just scares me to death. I'm too timid to do anything above that.
Well, then you're perfect in the hunters.
We won't hold your hunter back
exactly
against you. Sorry. It's not your fault.
Well, thank you.
Well, that just goes to show that there are those gems out there at New Vocations just waiting for a home. And I'm so glad that you got one of them.
Me too.
By the way, to all hunter people that are mad at me right now, I was a hunter for like 20 years.
Yeah. You know, everybody that says that was a hunter. You know, that's They're all hunters in their past life. Well, now, you guys, and we've talked about new vocations a lot over the years. And actually, they used to come on once a month, and we'd do a horse. We'd highlight one particular horse. But you have a program that's looking at finding more homes for more horses, you know, a whole bunch of horses quicker. So tell us about the Pony Club Challenge. It's really a great idea.
It is. We are just so excited about it. And my boss, Anna Ford, has, I mean, honestly, for years, she has been trying to figure out a way to get involved with Pony Club. You know, the testing and the programs that they go through there, they're educated, passionate, you know, young equine enthusiasts. And it's just such a prime market for our horses in particular. So we actually, she spoke with an organization called the Watershed Fund, which is a granting organization that focuses on programs that they feel can have a long and lasting impact on companion animals. They do a lot of dog and cat programs, and they are helping us do this Pony Club Challenge. So essentially what this is New Vocations is offering 50 free retired racehorses. Right now it is just thoroughbreds. We're focusing on thoroughbreds. And they can be adopted by any Pony Club member who is a C1 or higher. They also come with an $1,800 stipend, which has no strings attached. They can use it for transportation, lessons, training, vet, farrier, entry fees, you know, anything that they would care to use related to this horse in particular. And then the end goal is for hopefully all 50 horses to come back in 2018 to Pony Club Championships East, which there is not a location determined yet for that. But to have these horses come back and compete, they will be competing only against other challenge horses. We're not going to integrate them completely into the Pony Club Championships, specifically because we don't require our horses to go to a qualifying event. You know, obviously, we encourage the kids to take them off the farms before they come to the park or wherever it's being held. But the end goal is for them to come and really show off what these horses can do in a second career. And there's six different disciplines. They can do dressage, eventing, games, show jumping, polo cross, or western. So we're super excited. We actually launched the program the second week in January, and we have 58 applications in already.
I am shocked you don't have 5,058. So let me review You're given 50 free horses along with an $1,800 stipend. Jennifer would have taken that in 2 seconds, wouldn't you have, Jennifer?
Right?
So I want to tell you that seriously, I just sent this to the local pony club in my area too. I teach a couple of the pony club kids. They just started a pony club out here. There's never been one in Phoenix, or there hasn't been one in Phoenix in 20 years in the West Valley. It's a new thing. They're in. I just sent it to her. I'm like, go do this right now. That's crazy.
We love it.
And what pony clubber gets to compete for $10,000 in anything? I mean,
no joke. And we're super excited about it. You know, it's not, we actually, the program manager, Lynn Miles, and I flew out to Los Angeles last week and spoke at Pony Club Annual Convention about the program. And just obviously, just like you said, you know, it's been so well received. It's also available. The horse masters are considered Pony Club members, so the adult members are also eligible for our horses,
really?
As well,
Jennifer.
As the riding members. Yeah.
I am eligible.
Absolutely. And we're just so excited about it. And at the end of the year, you know, the horses are the member or the sinners. They're theirs to keep, to sell, you know, whatever they choose to do with it, we fully support it.
Oh,
obviously,
really?
If the horse is sold, we just would love to be updated with them. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome. We're really, really excited about it. We definitely hope, you know, that we know that it will be beneficial for both of us.
This is a huge commitment on New Vocations part financially. I mean, it's a huge commitment.
Well, and that is exactly where that Watershed Fund comes in, because they provided all of the monies to run this program. And because they feel that, you know, the end goal is for it to eventually be sustaining potentially without a stipend. It was basically opening the door to Pony Club to get us on Pony Club members' radar, if that makes sense.
Well, at this it makes it a little easier to convince mom and dad, doesn't it? Well, the horse is free, and exactly. I get some money, and I can compete to win $10,000.
Exactly.
So that makes it a harder a harder no on mom and dad's part.
It does. And really for us, we're focusing on horses. You know, we have horses that are smaller in stature that maybe a hunter might not look at because they consider them quote unquote too small, but they're perfect for a games horse, you know, or it might be a horse that has a vice, whether it cribs or it weaves in its stall that somebody might overlook, but it's obviously a wonderful horse. So not all of our horses are what we consider challenge approved, but the ones that are listed on our website with the Pony Club button on them as well, denoting them as challenge approved horses. We obviously, all of our trainers at our different locations go through and vet the horse to make sure it's mentally sound, you know, for a C1 or higher to ride. We certainly don't want anybody to get in above their head or anything like that. But as always with any of the new vocations horses, if the horse doesn't work out, we'll take it back and we'll find them another mount, essentially. So it's not like they're stuck with the horse, even if they don't like it or anything like that.
Where do they go to find out? Your website is horseadoption.com. I'm on there, and obviously you've got all the horses that are available for adoption. Is it just the certain ones that are picked in here, or where are the 50 that everybody can see?
It is. So right now, I believe we have 4 that are Pony Club eligible, and they have the seal on it. So if you go to All Thoroughbreds, go to the tab that says Thoroughbreds, All Thoroughbreds, you can scroll through and see them. They have the challenge pin denoted. Or if you want to look at a specific facility, say you want to look at our Hummelstown, Pennsylvania facility, you can click on that and look through. We do not, this is what we try to remind people, you know, we have 130 horses on our books at any given time in various stages of rehabilitation and retraining. So we don't always have, we don't have 50 right this second. We have right. 4, you know, 4 or 5 that are Pony Club eligible, and every day, you know, our inventory is changing. So that's what we try to remind people. We're like, just be patient. You know, there's your perfect one is coming. It just might not be right this second.
Oh, I'm looking at Caribbean Kid, who's at the Lexington facility. That's
I want that
horse.
One.
That's a cute horse. Yeah. That's a really cute horse. It is.
I love it.
He's got the little pony face.
No, we have. Yes. And we're just having so much fun with it. You know, the kids and the parents are just so excited, and they understand, you know, they're excited about the program. They're excited about the opportunity to compete, and they're really excited to be able to help.
Oh, wait a minute.
And
Sarah, wait a minute. There's a
program.
Course at the Lexington facility called Ouch, Ouch, Ouch. Now that's just
yes,
asking
isn't that
for
hilarious?
Trouble. That is just, we always say that the name reflects the horse. That's just asking for trouble. Change that name.
Ouch, oh, ouch, we get ouch. Some interesting ones. That is for sure.
See, but you get also Pony Club eligible is why not whiskey? Yeah. I mean, that goes together.
Yes.
I love it.
This is a great idea, Sarah. I'm so glad. You know, New Vocations has kind of led the way in creative thinking for getting horses out there into the right homes. And they have for years. And, you know, good on them for doing this.
We are just
Jennifer,
very excited. And
put the mouse down, Jennifer. Walk away from the website.
We'd love to have you come out and see him.
Walk away, Jennifer. Walk away from the website. Put the mouse down. Just turn
what?
It off.
What?
Walk
I didn't
away.
Hear you.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us. We really appreciate it. And congratulations for doing this. And we'll look forward to, we'll catch up with you as the program goes along and maybe after the competition to find out who the big winner was.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Sarah. Good to talk to you again. And good luck with your little red horse.
Thank you. I so appreciate it.
All right.
I'm coming for Canzoni. I'll see you guys in Kentucky.
Oh, the gray one? Yes.
<That's> pretty.
Gray one is cute. I saw that one at the top. That's a good looking horse. All right. Let's take a break for Ovation, and then we're coming back with Leslie. We'll be right back.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire. Affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
Well, I wanted to mention also that Ovation has a whole bunch of new products coming out. They are on the website. A lot of them are on the website right now at Ovation Riding. We saw them at the ADA. So go check out all of the new products that they have that have come out. A lot of new colors and all kinds of new breeches and clothing. So check it out at ovationriding.com.
And I do have my friend on the phone right now, actually on Skype. So, Leslie, good morning.
Oh, hey.
Somebody else is hungover. It sounds like a Super Bowl hangover.
Me? No, I didn't even watch the Super Bowl. I did watch the halftime show with Lady Gaga. I thought that was great. But the Super Bowl in general is dead to me now since there are no Clydesdale babies.
What's up with that?
What's up with that? Like, there's no thing for me anymore.
Well, I kind of thought you guys would be watching, considering you posted some football terminology for equestrians on your Facebook page.
My husband.
Horse Nation.
But yeah, well, we did. That was a hilarious. Melanie Eberhardt did this hilarious story about translating football terms for the football clueless into terms that horse people can understand.
I love it.
For instance, kickoff. What happens to your horse's new shoes 5 minutes after the farrier leaves?
The kickoff.
Tailback. What you pray for after your horse's pasture buddy chews off his tail the day before a big show.
Jamie knows a little about that right
now. That one hurts a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Poor Thor. Bless his little heart. I mean, there's not much I ask for in life, but a nice tail is something I actually work hard at.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Safety, the place people run to when you start backing your trailer.
That's funny.
Shotgun, what you wish for when your horse refuses to get on the trailer. Tight end, the backside of your britches after eating too many Christmas cookies.
God, or Girl Scout cookies now. Gosh. That's so, and these come with drawings. So
yeah,
I never thought about all these, but they make a lot of sense. Speaking of Girl Scout cookies, somebody in the parking lot of like a local grocery store had order forms taped to the back of their car, and you were supposed to write your name and address and phone number and your order in like on the back of somebody's car.
That's Would so you- lazy.
Is that not the laziest thing you've ever heard of?
What?
What are your children learning?
Right. No. Oh, that's terrible.
How do you learn about rejection if you don't have people saying no to you 100 times a day outside the door of the Walmart?
Exactly. And I feel like when you are, you know, you're just putting your public information out there, I feel like you're saying, hey, here, I have cookies, come murder me.
And kids.
Like, here's my address.
I have cookies and kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing. All right. So, so that's what we have there. Now, this is an amazing story that you guys had on Horse Nation about the great grandma.
Oh, this is my new hero, everyone's new hero, I think. So it's a jockey. Her name is C. Martin. She is 62 years old, and she just cleaned up at Tampa Bay Downs, won her race like last weekend.
Yeah.
She wrote it's crazy. Yeah. She rode her first race in 73. And she is still just going at it. She has four great grandchildren, 18 grandchildren, seven children, and she's a jockey who is still winning races at age 62.
So I mean, she didn't just like, hey, I'm going to hop on and do this one. She's like still race riding.
She's still race riding. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she sounds like she's only doing a handful of races, these days, but, you know, when she does race, you know, it sounds like she's got to win. She looks great too. She's like,
oh my gosh, like,
right? This woman's heroic.
Amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. And it looks like from the looks of it, the gray horse was out in the front the whole time because he don't have a speck of dirt on him. So way to go, girl. Martin, how awesome.
We've got a link to the video too, a replay of the race, so you can go and check it out. She's on the gray horse, Blue Haze of Fire, awesome. Number 7.
And then you finally have something else that went so viral, and I just think that we need to plan a Horse Nation / Horses in the Morning vacation.
I agree.
To Pony Park City.
Yeah. I mean, I'm about to just cancel my trip to Mongolia and just go to Pony Park City instead. This is... Sense. Yeah. It is, so it's in the Netherlands, of course, only something that kitschy and ridiculous and amazing could be in the Netherlands.
Of course.
So Kristen Kovach did the research on this, and she described it as the Dixie Stampede meets Disney World meets Westworld, but without the psychopathic robots and with a lot more ponies. So this place, so it's like a amusement park sort of resort. You go there on vacation. There's 300 ponies at this place. And part of your stay, you get your little like hotel or cabin or what. I thought it was maybe a cabin, but, and it comes with a pony, like just your own personal pony for the week.
I'm in.
Just to like brush and ride and, just isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing?
I mean, I'm looking at these. There's like amusement parks, and then you walk outside, and there's your pony tied up. Like you're panning for gold, and there's your pony.
Yeah, and there's just like kids walking around, like riding their ponies, leading their ponies.
I'm watching the video that's on your page on this story of the hundreds of these minis and ponies. And oh my God, that's a lot of ponies. That's a lot of hair.
Oh my God. I need little a little fat white bellies. Pony.
It's just bizarre. It's like, it's kind of Wild West themed, but there's like a Mexican restaurant. You can go like mining for gemstones. There's like a bowl, you know, it looks like this sort of crazy, Wild West Mexican themed like bowling alley.
I need to go.
I have no words.
And a lot of ponies. A lot of ponies.
Yeah. If I go back to Bugalo this year, I am definitely making a side trip to this place.
Our guest wrangler is trying to get them on, so we might have them on as a guest here soon.
Yes.
We need to open one of these. Tennessee would be perfect for this, Leslie.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's some more about it. Helmets are required and are available for loan all week. All riding is bareback, but stirrups are available to borrow if your pony jockey requires more stability. It's up to the kids to catch their pony from the giant communal barn, groom and care for their pony every morning. There is no groom for hire, but a real hands-on pony wrangling experience. All the ponies are also, it seems to be, ridden in halters. Oh,
I just heard from our guest wrangler, Denise, who said, I've tried to get someone on for the pony place to come on, but apparently there is almost no one there who speaks English. So We have some interpreters, though. If they speak German or Dutch, I think we have a couple of our listeners that could interpret for us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I have some Swedish friends. Does that help?
That's very cool. What a place. We need to open one of those. Tennessee, as I said, would be perfect.
Right. Perfect. Right up there in Gallaburg, Pigeon Forge.
You couldn't do it in the U.S. Somebody would get stepped on.
Yeah.
And somebody
would
sue somebody and PETA would go crazy. That's it's a nice thought. We're going to have to just go there. Yeah. Sorry, Glenn.
We're going to have to go. Hey, before you go, Leslie, I wanted to bring this story up while you were here. Have you been following the story of Adrian Bayford and his girlfriend, horsey girlfriend, Sam Burbridge in England?
No.
Okay. So Adrian is this postman, kind of frumpy looking, not so attractive guy, kind of like me, frumpy looking and not so attractive. And Adrian is like in his 40s and happened to win 148 million euros in the lottery.
Oh, geez.
Well, immediately after he wins 148, like 6 weeks after, he and his wife divorce. They'd been together for a long time, but there were rumors that he was cheating with the gardener, and so they get divorced. Well, conveniently, at a bar, a few weeks after he breaks up with his wife, he meets Sam, who's a girl. He meets a girl named Sam, who's a horse girl, a serious horse girl, who's 29 and looks really good in a bikini, by the way, because the Daily Mail was sure to post all of her bikini pictures. And Sam convinced this guy to get engaged and to buy her 30 thoroughbreds. Guess what, Sam? Yeah, you can see what happened last week, then the reason it made the Daily Mail. By the way, he bought himself a $6 million Georgian mansion also. He bought himself that with the money and then proceeds to buy this hot girlfriend 30 horses. And guess what happened? He goes to visit his kids with the first wife in Ireland, I think, and for a week and comes back. And Sam and the horses and the Audi car and several other things are missing. Completely gone. She just packed up and walked out on him. And now it's been reported in all of the places where you sell horses in England, they're seeing these horses pop up for big bucks. And apparently she is cashing in on her horses to the tune of, they estimate that she'll take between $750,000 and $1 million selling these horses.
Wow. I'm kind of like, well played.
Did anybody
Samantha
see that coming?
Burbage, whatever your name is.
Let me get into the nuts and bolts of this. So when you say frumpy, this is a big dude.
Yeah, he's like, kind of overweight, big, frumpy dude. Yeah,
he's a big dude.
Not real
and
attractive.
He was married to a fairly, I'm sure she's a lovely mother, but she's matronly. She's not a tiny girl. And so they win 148 million pounds in 2012. They get divorced 15 months later.
Yep.
So money did not bring them happiness.
Yep.
Or maybe the fact that all these skinny bitches were
rumors first that I thought that too, but there was rumors first that she was with the gardener before he might have been with the
Okay. So, well, good for her.
Wow.
So he is still friends with his ex-wife, and then
there's two kids.
What repercussions does the guy that lost all his horses to his slutty little girlfriend have? I mean,
I don't know. We aren't that far along in the story yet. So he's still pretty shocked because apparently there was no word. She just packed up and left while he was gone and came home and found, his car's gone and his horse is gone. And well, if they were gifts, I mean, if he was buying, that is a good point. If he was buying them as gifts for her, then, and they're not married. See, she was smart enough not to get married. Because then, I don't know, then it becomes a whole different thing, right? So the big question is, legally, was she better off not married, or would she be better off married?
The rumored love interest, Marta Jaros, was a regular visitor to Mr. Bayford's house and was seen driving a 34,000-pound Volvo, thought to be a gift from the father of two, who cannot drive.
How about this? He invested in her passion for riding, building her a $1.5 million eventing arena, hiring a stable staff, and buying 30 thoroughbred horses.
Wow. Good job, Samantha. Your husband built you. I kind of want to meet this woman.
Leslie, your husband's built you a $1.5 million arena, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Apparently, there he's going to have to go out of business. He's selling the Georgian mansion because of all the people that kept showing up at the house asking for money.
Oh, can you imagine, though, what that must be like? I mean, let's feel a little sorry for the dude. They say that when you win a lottery, that most of them end up broke and just have
I'm
a difficult time.
That this guy would end up broke, having given all his money away, in number one, in a divorce, and number two, to some slutty little girl who ran off with all his horses and money.
Yeah. Huh. There's always two sides to the story, so I don't know what the other side is, you know? Who knows?
He's a big dude who doesn't drive. Like, I don't know.
If I have $148 million, I might have somebody else drive, too. I can just...
Yeah, but you can drive.
Well, there you go. There's my story.
Wow.
Oh, they look so happy back in the day when they're showing, seeing pictures of them actually winning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's happy right when they win. Well, thank you, Leslie. HorseNation.com.
All right. You guys have a great week.
Talk to you later. Well, we are going to do, I promised earlier in the show, I talked, if you missed the beginning of the show, you can go back and take a listen to it on the recorded version. But over the weekend, I got to head out to Gloria Austin's place in the Grand Oaks and to see the royal carriage come out, the Emperor Franz Joseph of Austria's carriage from 1840, pulled by Gloria's white PREs, which are absolutely beautiful, and David Saunders driving. And David had a chance to catch up in a couple of years ago, actually, in the museum where Gloria has her carriage collection. And they spoke about how she found this royal carriage and how it came to be restored and everything. And I just thought it would be interesting. If you get a chance, go watch the video I posted on Horses in the Morning, and you'll see this carriage in use. But I thought it would be fun for you to hear the story behind the carriage, too. It's very interesting. Jamie, I know you have to cut out, so we'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us today, even though you were a little depressed and a little hungover.
I know. Well, things happen. Spay, neuter, geld, everybody. Have
all
a good
right.
one.
Let's take a listen.
Go Falcons.
It's time for Horses in History with Gloria Austin.
Again, I'm with the fabulous Gloria Austin, and we're in her museum looking at a fabulous carriage. Welcome, Gloria.
Now, today we have a very sophisticated golden carriage in front of it that is called a dress chariot. And the reason it's called a dress chariot or has any reference to chariots is because there are the significant people inside the carriage sit facing forward. In fact, I do believe, David, even when you helped Prince Philip design the modern marathon carriage, the people were standing in the back of it much as they would have in the chariot that we talked about last week. So anytime you see these two people sitting forward, you might look for chariot being in the name of it or this principle of people sitting facing forward. This is what we call a full dress chariot or a gala coupe. It has a coachman's seat in front. The coachman sits in the center, much like the modern combined driving carriages. I understand they're moving now for the driver to sit in the center of the front seat. And this is a traditional carriage where the driver or coachman sat in the center of the front seat. That's called a hammer cloth. This carriage is covered with gold. And if you get to go to some of the European museums, you'll see many of these dress carriages or full dress carriages or gala carriages. And they often are decorated in gold.
And just explain a little bit why it would be painted with gold leaf. I mean, what does this say about the people in the carriage? Let's talk a little bit about the mentality of this type of carriage, the lights, the windows, and just the general appearance of what we're looking at. What does that say about the people that are in this carriage?
Yes, these full-dressed chariots or full gala coupés would have been used by aristocrats who had great wealth. They owned the land, they owned the horses, they owned the carriages, and so they demonstrated their wealth just as the Egyptians did when they gilded that chariot that we talked about. Those aristocrats in Europe, Western and Eastern Europe, would gild their carriages. So gold would be all over. In fact, it's interesting because I had this carriage restored when gold was about $200 an ounce, and I think it's selling for substantially more than that today, isn't it, David?
Well, this is really like a big stock investment you've got here. With all the gold leaf on it. But it's obviously gold, but it's very artistically done. It's really probably the most beautiful piece you have, wouldn't you agree, in the museum?
Yes.
It's really a treat for the eyes, but there's also a lot more about it than you just see. Perhaps explain a little bit about who made it and what the maker's specialty was.
It was made by Armbruster of Vienna. And this coach was owned by Emperor Franz Joseph and Empress Sisi, as she was called, or Empress Elizabeth of Austria. So they ruled an empire before World War I. And I think because of the gold on these carriages, you can see why the commoners kind of revolted from the aristocratic rule and what have you. But these carriages are actually works of art. And if you go to some of the European museums, you will actually see there's artwork decorating the panels on the sides of the coach bodies. But here you're going to see gold-plated insignias of the Habsburg family. And the imperial crown is on the top of each one of these insignias. In fact, if you look at the hammer cloth, you'll see the imperial crown on the crest that's on the side of the hammer cloth. You'll see the imperial crown atop the four lamps, not just two carriage lamps, but four carriage lamps. You will see that imperial crown on the crest or on the regalia on the side of almost any ornamented piece that's here. You will also see the carvings that are on the supports for the coachman's seat in front. And those carvings are, they have a black background and then there's gold on top of the carving. So you can see the carved leaves that are on the front and back of the carriage. In fact, there's gold plate, as we talked about, on the lamps and what we call the gallery. If you look at the top of the body of the coach, you will see a floral or leaf pattern in iron. It looks like iron across the top, but it's plated in gold as well. In fact, even the hammer cloth and the little grab things on the back of the carriage for the footmen have gold threads in them. So there's gold all over, and it's really a work of art.
Talking about the footman and the driver, so how many servants would ride on this carriage? And explain a little bit about the difference between the livery of a footman and the livery of a coachman.
Right. Oftentimes, the livery, which are the outfits or the clothing of the people who accompanied the aristocrats, were in the color of the household. And here we oftentimes see Austrian gold. In fact, the buildings were even painted Austrian gold if you go throughout Europe. But there's broad lace and lace on the footman's jacket and trousers. And the interesting thing about telling the footman from the coachman here is the footman had what we call a bicorn hat. In other words, there's just two points, one in front and one to the rear, where the coachman, the driver of the coach, who would have sat up on the hammer cloth, he would have had a tricorn hat. Now, the interesting thing about all of the clothing or livery that the footman and coachman use is
as I told you, these colors and the regalia that's on it, oftentimes designated the Hout household. It was our first form of what our modern marketeers would call branding. In other words, from a distance, you could tell whether this was from the Austrian Habsburg family or from a Belgium family or the Belgium aristocrats, because they would have had different color, different trim, and slightly different style to the coachman and footman's livery.
And just on a final note about the carriage, and then we'll move on to the horses and the harness, because I know that's interesting as well. Where was this restored mostly, and what was your inspiration to get it restored, and who did it, and where was it done?
Right. I had known Patrick Schroven from Belgium as a restorer, because I had worked with him before, and I had actually visited Europe and visited his shop, and he had restored another carriage or so for me. And it's interesting, because there were no full state carriages in the United States, because we didn't have aristocrats or kings and queens here in the United States. So there was nobody of the that had suitable skills or craftsmen to do the restoration. So I turned to Patrick Schroven, and he had restored carriages for the Dutch royal household and I believe the Belgium royal household as well. So I turned to him and told him, in fact, he was quite in disbelief. I said, I purchased a full state carriage here in the United States. He says, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. And I found this carriage on the west coast of the United States and purchased it from Joel Brown. He had purchased it from the movie industries, and I think it had also gone through Martin's auction at one time. But nobody in the United States either knew what it was or was even interested in a full state carriage. And of course, after having visited Europe several times and seeing these gilded carriages in museums, I myself couldn't believe that we had one here on the west coast of the United States. But it was brought here by the movie industries. MGM Studios, it appeared in The Prisoner of Zenda, and I think in the movie Juarez, and some other movies that were filmed during the World Wars or between the World Wars. That's when our movie theaters were full of people who wanted to escape the problems of the World Wars.
So you actually said we don't have royalty in America, but actually that's not true, because there was movie royalty obviously traveled in this carriage. So we did have some royalty, but
yes, we
a different
did.
Type of royalty.
Yeah, so Ronald Coleman actually rode in this carriage, so we could say Ronald Coleman was our royalty of the time. Yes.
Let's talk a little bit now about the harness and the type of horses, because
yes.
Just to talk a little bit about it.
Okay. The harness is a full state harness, and again, it has a crown on top, but in this instance, it's the Austrian state crown that's on the top of this harness, not the imperial family crown, which appears on the carriage. So this harness, in fact, I found in Belgium at our friend Hank Vanderwiel's harness shop. I walked in, and here on his desk were some of the hardware. And I looked at it and I said, oh, Hank, what is this all about? Well, he said a museum had come to him, wanted him to, the harness had been in a fire and they wanted it re-leathered and they couldn't afford to pay for it. So he said to the museum, this is as the story goes, that he would re-leather the harness if he could have the rights to build five sets, meaning five set, a set would be for two horses, and sell them to the public, such as myself, to get enough money to produce the museum's harness free of charge to them. And so that's what happened. And right now in our museum, we have three of the five sets of harness. We have six model Kladruber horses here, and the harness they have on is this reproduction of an authentic Austrian state harness.
So in fact it's a six in hand, so that would be typical for pulling this type of carriage, because I know in England, having worked for the Queen for many years, we would often drive four horses, no more than four, and if there was two leaders we would normally be a postillion, but this is driven six horses. Tell us a little bit about the type of horses that the Habsburgs used and why this particular color and why this particular breed?
Yes. These horses were developed probably 500 to 700 years ago by the Habsburg family and the aristocrats in Austria. In fact, they're called Kladruber horses because the stud farm where they took these horses was in Kladruby, I think is the name of it, or Kladrubsky or whatever, in the Czech Republic. So they're still bred there today. And if you want to go to their stud farm, it's a marvelous experience to go there. They'll give you cabbage soup for lunch and what have you. But I actually at one time owned, I think it was 8 of these Kladruber horses. And when we presented this carriage to the public or to the Carriage Association of America in the year 2000, we actually horsed it. We horsed it with only 4 Kladruber horses. But you're right, David. If you'd had 6 or 8 horses on this, the best way to present them is actually postillion for the pairs of horses that are in the lead, because you can't get to them to the whip. That's why you almost need sidewalkers or footmen on the ground to make sure nothing goes wrong on a ceremonial occasion, so somebody can step up and grab hold of the horses. So you would have always had somebody walking. And these horses would have been driven only at what we call a walk or a parade trot, which would have been very slow. Because like myself today, I want to be seen, David. So let's go slow.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Actually, for a carriage like this, and having worked for the Queen for many years, these were processional carriages, so no one ever trotted with them. Or if you did trot, it was a very slow trot. But I think that listeners may be interested in, tell us a little bit about the color of the horses and why that was so significant.
Yes. They deliberately bred horses that were, we would call them gray horses, but with age they turn white. And what these white horses signified was purity, honesty, truth, wealth, because it took one full extra hour a day to groom a white or light-colored horse. In fact, you're helping me now with some Spanish horses that are gray and definitely going to turn white. White horses photograph well, they're seen better in processions, and they were used for weddings and ceremonies.
Well, thanks again, Gloria. It's been a lovely, fascinating interview again, and we look forward to hearing you again next month, and thank you very much.
Thank you, David, and it's been great fun. Yeah.
Horses in History is sponsored by the Equine Heritage Institute. For almost 20 years, the Equine Heritage Institute, a 501c3 charity, has been educating, celebrating, and preserving the history of the horse and its role in shaping civilization and our lives. EHI has a vast array of educational offerings, including CAA driver preparation and certification, seminars to enhance driver skills, demonstrations of unusual carriage turnouts, and lectures on the timeline of the horse and the timeline of the carriage. These and other offerings are available at either Gloria Austin Stables or your site or horse or carriage event. Contributions to the Equine Heritage Institute are tax deductible, and your generous donation ensures ongoing support for the horse and its history in shaping our world and civilization. EHI is also actively involved in research and the preservation of the carriage as a functional work of art. Contact them today at equineheritageinstitute.org. You can make a difference. Well, we hope you enjoyed that and learned a little bit more about how the royal carriages and various vehicles worked. And it was very interesting hearing about the horses, too. Gloria is a walking encyclopedia. We'll be back tomorrow. Emily will be here for sure this week. I actually have this right. It's the jumping episode tomorrow, so she'll be here tomorrow. And we look forward to talking to you all then, 9 a.m. Eastern on Horses in the Morning.